got these verses here found in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 9. We haven't got real far, but we're moving on. But a few little tidbits before I begin here. I thought you'd find these to be quite interesting. A former lead singer of a Christian rock band revealed that he no longer believes in God in an Instagram post. His name is John Steingart. You know who he is? Good. That's probably good. A former Christian rock band called Hawk Nelson revealed in a note posted on Instagram he renounced his faith. Now listen what happened here. It's very interesting here. I've been terrified to post this for a while, he says, but I feel like it's time for me to be honest. After growing up in a Christian home, being a pastor's kids, playing, singing music in Christian bands, and having Christians throughout my whole life, I am now finding that I no longer believe in God, Mr. Steingart said. Throughout the letter, Mr. Steingart discussed growing up deeply engrossed in cultural Christianity and explains how over time his faith began to wane as he developed doubts about the nature and reality of God. Now, listen to what happened here. In this letter, Mr. Steingart explains that his faith began to crumble when he began to question the veracity of the Bible. He recalls having a conversation with his father-in-law, also a pastor, about a passage in the Bible that troubled him. I was asking about this verse in 1 Timothy that seems really oppressive of women. Probably that's 1 Timothy 2, 9 to 15, I imagine. It indicates that women should be in church, should not be in church leadership, shouldn't teach men, shouldn't wear their hair in braids. To me, that seemed less like the message of a loving God that most Christians believe in now, and more like the ideas that would have been present in the cultural time, he wrote. A male-dominated society where women were treated less equal than poverty. Now, Mr. Steingart said his father-in-law directed him to review the original Greek translators of the Bible source material, suggesting that the modern translations are misrepresentative and not biblical authority. There you are, the pastor. As a result, Mr. Steingart concluded that if the modern translations cannot be trusted, neither the original Greek. That's some truth right there. I mean, if one ain't right, that one's right, you know. This revelation undermined his overall faith in God. Catch that, folks. You know, we kind of push this thing a little bit, and, you know, some of you know that thing, but once you disdoubt faith in that book right there, found authority, you're toast. Mr. Steingart appears to hold now agnostic views, now saying he was open to the idea of God is there, but that it there may not be God. It is very difficult what I was taught. There you are, pastors and Christian. Well, that goes right into right here. We're teaching you today these last days, doubting things, so forth. Pretty amazing. So I thought it was kind of relevant. A little tidbit here. People know that October 7th was Bring Your Bible to School Day. If you go to Christian school, you don't know that, but there's actually, I know it's folks in the family, and I know maybe they're not as solid as we'd like to be, but hey, I'm glad they have a Bring Your Bible to School Day. And every year they have it. I didn't get the results, but they always have post year, but that was October 7th this year, and 50,000 schools participated and Bring Your Bible to School, and 514,000 students brought their Bible to school. Now, I figured it out because I know a little math, and that's 10.28 per school. It's 10 people had the guts to bring it. Maybe some of them are Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses, but at least, you know, hey, I mean, and it says here, and I like the quote, it says, as written on the Bring Your Bible School website, Bring Your Bible School is a nationwide student-led movement to read and treasure Scripture as God's holy word, to encourage others with the hope that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to celebrate our religious freedom in the United States. I'm all for all that stuff. You know, I'm up for all things. You know, I'm a Gideon. I still am a Gideon. I'm not involved as I was in the past. But we would place scriptures in the traffic lanes of life, junior high, grade school, high school, colleges, go to prisons, go to, doctor's offices. And in Illinois, we give over 45 million copies. I'm sorry, nationwide, we give away 45 million of scriptures per year out. That's quite a feat, because they have people, business people, that got generally resources and time, and they can use them for free, which is kind of nice, and they good organizations. But we go to the school. I went to my old high school, I remember, about 10 years ago, and I literally haven't been back since I was saved. This is 1977, when I went to high school in 77. So I went back a few years ago. So I go, well, I'm coming back saved. I wish I was saved and went to this school. They had a courtyard. I could have passed tracks out and preach. I go, I wish I would know what I know now back then. It would be amazing, you know? But you know what I mean? But anyways, so we're giving out scriptures, and I was an amazing thing, because what I found out is the older you get in school, the less receptive they are. I mean, the junior highs and grade schools, they come out and grab them like candy. Oh. But as they get older, a little more knowledge, they get a little more puffed up. And in college, it's really rough, you know, telling me. But in high school, you know, they're still taking some scriptures here and there. They're right between, you know, thinking. And honestly, I didn't see one girl properly dressed. I mean, I'm talking about wearing jeans, all that. I mean, man, I couldn't find one. I go, how do people concentrate here? And they even had tattoos on and stuff like that. What a tremendous, complete transition in the decline. And then I had one lady, she's going, I guess they're kind of yelling at me or going, I go, she mad at me? She's real happy. And she's running to me, I guess there, has a paper, I guess there. And I go, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. She hands me a paper, and it's a gay club in the high schools. And they're promoting it. It's freshman gay, sophomore gay, junior high, I'm junior gay. And when I went to school, we had a thing called greasers. You know, I don't know what greasers are. We had like you were a burnout, or you were a straight guy, or you're, you know, this is back in the 1970s. And if you were gay, if you were, you couldn't say anything. The greasers would beat you up. Now, I'm not saying that's right, but even they weren't willing to come out of the closet there. The greasers kind of held them at bay. Amen? But now, you know what happens? Now they have a club on it. Shows you the transgression, all part of this last day stuff that's going on here. So it's all relevant, very interesting. Okay, getting back to our lesson here. 2 Timothy 3, 1-9. We built a foundation. I won't be here for a few weeks, and I think we have Joe coming in next week, and then Brother Frank again. We covered covetous last week. In 2 Timothy, and now let's look at here at boasters. Let me read you the verse here so you know. Here it says, covet, and know this, know also that in last days, remember, because that's our time for the rapture, perilous times will come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. So let's spend a little time on boasters. Proud and blasphemies. We get that done today here. We'll see what we can do, how far we can get here, okay? Boasters. This is obviously in a negative context. Obviously, if you want to boast something, boast on Jesus. Boast in the Bible, but the context here is negative. The word today, they come up with today, and it's a good word, I think. They call it a narcissist. That's like an epidemic proportion today. Narcissist. Brag on oneself, to give glory, to speak with pride on self, a person or things, you know, boasting there. And the whole point of these verses is to show you that what's going on in the world is going on in the church or believers. So that's a whole idea this year is last days. He's talking to church. He goes, hey, this going on here and right here inside the church. So I'm going to show you scripturally what's going on in the world and what's going on with the church here. The first mention of boast here, it's interesting, is found in 1 Kings chapter 20. Spend a little time here. I find it's a very interesting portion of scripture. And let me read you the verse, and then I'm going to read you the context. And this is found in 1 Kings 20, verse number 11. And it says, "And the king of Israel answered and said, Tell him, lest not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he had puffed it off." Now, doesn't mean anything, but let's look at the context. It's very interesting to show you that how relevant the scriptures are today. They've always been relevant. And this beginning of verse 20, this talks about a king here. It says, "And Behadadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria and warred against it." So here we have a king, and he's got some power. 32 other kings, horses, chariots. Today, you know, gathering armies, having military power. You know, watch what happens here. You know what, though? In our country here, we've got 19 nuclear submarines can destroy half the world swooping around there. You know, and sometimes a good defense is a great offense. But I mean, here it is. He's got some military backing. And how they did in the old days, they warred against the city. They besieged him. Hey, surrender. We're going to stay out here and stay out here until you run out of food. And, you know, so surrender or give up. That's how he did things back then, you know. And he sent messengers to Ahab, his king Ahab. Now, one of the greatest king in the world, as you probably know, of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, "Thus said Behadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, and thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest are mine." And king of Israel answered and said, "O Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have." It probably is kind of a scared guy here, all seen outside, a little faithless king he was. And the messengers came again and said, "Thus speaketh Behadad, saying, Although I have sent unto thee, saying, Thou shalt deliver me thy silver and thy gold and thy wives and thy children, yet I will send my servants unto thee tomorrow about this time, and they shall search thine house, the houses and servants, and it shall be that whatever is pleasant in thine eyes, they shall put it in their hands and take it away." Now, that's pretty bold. Okay, I'm going to besiege you. Give me your gold and silver and wives. And maybe it's better than dying, whatever. But now we're going to come right in here and take what we want. That's what's kind of going on here, you know. People, they take what they want, come and do what they want. See how things are not changing much here, you know. Then the king of Israel called all the elders in the land and said, "Mark, I pray you, to see how this man seeketh mischief. For he sent unto me for my wives and my children and my silver and for my gold, and I deny him not." He's admitting it. And the elders said unto the people, "Hearken not unto him, nor consent." Here's some folks saying, "What are you doing? Hey, what are you doing here? You know, what are you doing?" Therefore, he said unto the messengers of Behadad, "Tell my lord the king all that thou didst send me to thy servants. At the first I will do, but this thing I may not do." And the messengers departed and brought him word again. So he's compromising. You can take some stuff, but ain't coming in. You know, kind of a compromise. And hey, you get besieged. Obviously, he's not trusting the Lord, and he's telling his people and armies, you know, and they're going to starve you out, whatever it is. So, you know, pick your head. All right, now look what happens here, the context. "And Behadad sent unto him and said, The gods do so unto me at small gods. And more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for the handfuls of all the people that follow me," is boasting. And the king of Israel answered and said, "Let him not, him that girdeth of his harness, boast himself as he puffeth up." Now the king's getting a little bold here, Ahab. And it came to, see it there? So he's boasting on his what he has. And it came to pass when Behadad heard this message, he was drinking. There you are, alcohol. America's country's number one drug, alcohol. Right there. And the kings of the pavilion, they're all just drinking. Like they're in Daniel, you know. They're warring and they're drinking. Their minds, you know, thinking they got everything all, you know, puffed up here. And look at verse 13. And behold, there came a prophet from Ahab, king of Israel, saying, thus say the Lord, hast thou seen all this great multitude? Speaking of those people, behold, I will deliver it unto thy hand this day, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. So you know what though? And what basically what happened is about time, Israel whipped them. He goes, hey, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Matter of fact, actually, read on. They got whipped twice. You know, Abinadab went back and then re-got his things together. He had the guts, the boldness, kind of dumb, to go back and whip twice if you read the story here. Read this. This is someone that's boasting of what they have, just like in our country. You know what, though? Have you ever heard someone, you know, we're big, we're powerful, we are, we. Have they ever give credit to the Lord Jesus Christ? You ever hear that? I mean, it's like, oh, they mentioned the Lord or Jesus. You know, what they'll say at the end of their speech, they'll say, oh, yeah, God bless America. Just to kind of put them in there at the end a little bit, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? They don't give credit to where credit is due. That's that boast thing going on. I'll show you. It affects people, Christians too. So it says here that in Psalm 49:6, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of the riches. That's going on, especially where we're at here. How long shall they utter and speak hard things and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? Psalm 97:7, confounded be all they that serve graven images and boast themselves of idols. That could be a lot of things. It could be all your stuff too. And worship him, all he got, small g. It says here, boast not thyself for tomorrow, for thou knowest not what the day may bring forth. That's why a lot of times I say, Lord willing. You know, I'm honestly, back of your mind, you don't know what the Lord's going to do. You make plans for this year, but you know what though? Lord willing. Just always say, remember, the Lord can, and if you've been around long enough, will change your plans like this. Amen? You know, I've had time to give you some stories where I go, how did this happen? All of a sudden, the Lord used this year. I go, that's why the Lord did that. That's why you should never get aggravated about things. You know? This is the way the Lord works things out. Now here's interesting now what I'm getting to. That's kind of the unsaved man boasting, military power, his riches. But now, let's look at New Testament and believers here. Remember where we come from. Look at this verse here, Ephesians 2, 4, 8, 9. Now, we quote this all the time for unbelievers, but it's written to believers. Listen here. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ain't that something? God just gives you a tremendous benefit of what he did for us, the ages to come, grace, riches, kindness. And you know what? And it says, lest any man should boast. Because I think a lot of believers forget where they come from. Now, we use this verse a lot of times to show unsaved people, oh, so you're boasting works? But it's written to believers, you know that. It's like Revelation 3:11, knock on a door. We use that. That's written for the believers. The Lord, hey, folks, hey, church, hey, believer, come on in. So here what happened today is we have a lot of times Christians boasting on what they did. It's the Lord. God, it's the Lord. I mean, anything go good? It's hey, you want to thank God he's used you. Thank God. But it's the Lord doing that. Lest any, you're boasting, man. You're boasting. That's what's happening. We're getting that same attitude of boasting what the Lord did. I'm the kind of guy that likes seeing people succeed at anything. I'm the biggest cheerleader. You know, I like that. You know, I mean, because I'm glad. I'm glad the Lord, even this little thing the Bible's given out in schools here, I like to bring their Bible in. I'm for anything righteous. Amen? So we got to be careful there that a big problem today, and we're boasting of us instead of God. And that's kind of boasting. So that's just one little tidbit on that there to think about, trying to show you what the Bible says and make sure we're not part of that thing there, okay? So that's boasting. Now, let's spend next verse here is proud. Proud. Proud is having inordinary self-esteem, possessing a high, unreasonable conceit of one own's excellence, either in body or mind. He can be proud of his talents, his accomplishments, his achievements. He may even be proud of his religion some way. So this is let me show you some verses here that are very interesting. I think you'll like this. Now, Psalm 12:3 says, "The Lord shall cut off all flattering lips, and the tongue that speaketh proud things." In the list of things that the Lord considers an abomination, remember, seven things that the Lord hate, so six things the Lord hate, and seven are abomination. The first thing is a proud look. See that there? Proudly, I'll show you scripturally and how it's like a church. The first thing is a proud look. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked, Bible says, is sin. You know why? Many times we're trying to get right back to self. A lot of times it's all about the self. And you know what though? Man, the Lord. It's the Lord. You know. Hey, it's the Lord does that. A lot of times if I win something, we always have this contest at my business. I hate the Lord. They kind of, why credit the Lord? I like people that give credit. They have a victory. They mentioned the Lord Jesus Christ. There's someone there, right there that understands where that those skills or talents come from, right? Remember the Bible says not many meek, but it's all the Lord. It's all the Lord. Now it says here, the most odd example of this is the gay pride you're going to meet today. Example today. I can't think of a more bigger example of a gay pride. As a matter of fact, was it like when Obama was in office about 4 years ago, the Supreme Court had made it legal, quote, from a standpoint to have gay marriage. Remember that? I had no idea what was going on. I remember it was a Friday or Saturday. I was out at Downers Grove. We had holding signs and preaching and tracks. And that's when I think it was that day they made that announcement. I had no idea. That's when they put the colors in the White House, remember? You know, those six colors. And about 50 people came here. And they're like just couldn't. They're just and gleaming. And they're bragging about this thing, boasting about this thing. I go, what happened? What do you think about that? I go, hey, what I think is nothing. What say the scripture? I always point them to scripture. You know why? Because they want you to try and get pull your tail chain a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You know? I go, hey, what I mean is nothing. I'll tell you what God says. I'll show you what God says about it. I agree with God. So I'm trying to always point them back to the scripture because, you know why? You can say something maybe in your flesh and they're looking at you as an example. Point them always to the scripture. Always point them to the scripture. Very, very critical. So look here. And look at this interesting point now here. In Romans chapter 130, it says, backsliders, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil, disobedient parents. But look at the beginning of verse 27. Let's go to this here. It's a very interesting point I wanted to point out here. Let's go to Romans chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, "And likewise all see men having a natural use of women, burned in their own lust one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their own inner knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind. And those things which are convenient." I read that verse right here. Then it says, "Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death." Now we don't kill them. That's God's dealing. "Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So what God is telling you here is, hey, you know what? These are obviously heinous sins, but don't agree with them. I mean, there's a bunch of people like, yeah, I'm not gay, but somebody need their rights. God is against you even agreeing with these type of people, okay? Right? Now, let's take that concept of here and bring it into the believers. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, 3, and 5. Very interesting. We're kind of doing the same thing here with, you know, in the church. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 3 to 5. It says, 1 Timothy, I got the, where it is, I'm in the wrong book. I wonder why. 1 Timothy, if it makes sense, 6, here we go. It says here, if any man teach otherwise, now remember, talking to believers, right? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud. Mark that down. Knowing nothing, but doting about quietness and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. So here we go. What we got here is we've got believers that are, what are they doing? They're proud, and they're what? Against the word and doctrine, right? What's our big problem today in the church? The word and doctrine, right? You know what though? No one says anything. Well, here are the queers. If we support them, they don't say anything. You know why a lot of problems with churches? By not saying anything. Well, you know, they're still believers. You know, they love the Lord. You know, but hey. It talks about doctrine and wholesome words. I just read you right there. The first thing I read you about that rock guy that kind of went away. See, his pastors didn't stand to doctrine and the word, right? And see the shipwreck you have there? That's why God says it here for the believers. Hey, you know, they don't say anything. Hey, right here. It tells you right here. And what so your two big sins on the church are right here. He is proud, and they consider gain as godliness, pride and money. See that? That's a sin of the believers today. I mean, my bishop prick is I talk to people, and if I, you know, especially believers, church people, or especially pastors, like, well, you know, I'd be nice to them. I'm real nice to them. I really am. I smile, but they just get real mad at you. Because you know why? Because if I believe that, Tim, then I have to disown where I went to school at or something, or might affect my income. See what I'm saying? That's what you're saying here. That's epidemic proportion of pride in the church. Get that, folks? I mean, you have kids, you want to rebuke them. Right? You know, if you don't rebuke them, you know, hey, they're going to go to Abel here. Same thing with the church. What it says, from such withdraw thyself. Now, I mean, I got to believe who the third foot of Daniel is, you know, who he is. I'm not going to leave there, but you know what, though? Pastor Hoffman says, you know, leave quietly, but hey, you know what, though? There's a point where, you know what? Hey, that's a bad doctrine. Hey, that's just, I got to get away from that. And then you're teaching them, hey, what I leave. You know, when I left my old church, they knew where I stand. They wouldn't let me ask any questions. It got kind of bad over there for a while. And when I left, the guy, literally, Gene knows, called me, told me I was damned. Because I was trying to talk to him nicely. And then, so I left. He said I moved to Indiana. So he didn't have the guts to say, hey, you know what though? Tim and I didn't agree with some things, you know. And, you know, he didn't want the word out there that, we had some agreements, you know why? Because I'm the pastor. I always say, you know, find a young pastor that would admit, hey, you know what though? I used to believe this, but upon current study, look what it says here. See that there? Hey, I mean, just admit sometimes, hey, you know, I used to believe this here, but look at this here. People respect that. I mean, in the military event we had there in Afghanistan, if somebody admitted, hey, we made a mistake, you respect them a little more. Amen? Hey, you know what? That was, we didn't do it that right. We should have, you know, got everyone out first and then help people. I mean, just be honest. See, pride. Outside and inside the church. It's a bad deal. Liken unto the sins of the queers. I'm sorry, use that word. Who are not but support their sins. Liken to believers who mess with doctrine and words from God. Right here, the words of God. Withdraw thyself. Remember, and in Timothy, that if you look at that same word, if you look at my text here in 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, they use those words, from such turn away again. Ain't that something? It's all tied together here. I mean, one thing about the Word of God, there's harmony in the Word of God. It just fits together like an absolute glove. How can you miss it? It's like, boy, it's the same thing here, same thing over here, same thing over here, different way. Nobody can write things in Ham. Only the Lord can do that. You get that, you know? It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. So we look at these things here. If you just look at them a little bit and say, hey, the world's doing it. Church is doing it too. It's kind of sad. Okay. We got just a minute or two. I'm going to open up the next one. Disobedient to parents. Why is this mentioned in this list? Because it comes down to authority. It's always about authority, period. Everyone is under some sort of authority. Amen? you're the man of the house. Hey, yeah, but I got authority of God. There's always some. And if kids don't get under the authority of somebody they can see here on earth, how are they going to get an authority someone they can't see on earth revealed by the pages of Scripture? Get that? That's why it's a training ground to get this thing down right here as they grow up. Say, here's authority. Hey, parents aren't make mistakes and all that. We get all that. But it's still that authority. It's disobedient to parents in this list. And that's why a lot of kids fall away. So I'm out of time. But I want to give you a few minutes here to see if you have any questions or comments on anything I covered in previous lessons, or pride, or blaspheming, or just being a parent. Anything that you, questions you have, or comments, anything? You know what this means? The Lord's come back. I remember growing up, and they had the spaceship going up, you know, 3 hours and 40 minutes. I remember the black and white station. 3 hours and 40 minutes of blast off. Like 3 hours and 40 minutes. Man, it's a long ways. They come back an hour something, right? You know? And then finally gets down to, you know, a minute. And then, you know, T minus 10, 9, 8. Now, remember blast off? I mean, remember the anticipation? This is way better. Now, I don't know the exact time. If you know it, please let me know and guarantee it. And I'll take what I have, divide it many years. If you're wrong, you pay. Okay? But in other words, it's counting. T minus, I mean, all these scriptures are relevant for us today. We see it out there around the world. We see it in our own country, and we see it in our own lives. Make sure we're not part of them, okay? Okay, Father in heaven, thank you very much for an opportunity just to open up your word here and look what it says, conditions of people will be in these last days for blast off. Not only the world, we get that, but the church. Unfortunately, this dispensation ends bad. I hope there's a little gleaming before that. People will wake up. I always hope the case. You know that. But I just pray that we are recognizing those facts and we know what to do, Father, with these matters. So we thank you very much for an opportunity this morning. I pray as Brother Hoffman comes here, Pastor Hoffman, that our hearts are prepared to receive the word, not only and also in worship and in giving, and in listening to the word of God. So we thank you. May you anoint him today, Father, and may we get what we need to hear, Father, and be attentive to it, Father. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.